Then you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Romans again, Romans and chapter 8. And Romans chapter 8, and we were looking at, in particular of late, to remind ourselves of the ministry of the Spirit of God. God's awesome person, which is indispensable in order. In other words, Christ could die on the cross without the Spirit of God implementing and making all of that practical and profitable. All of that wouldn't happen. It required the Spirit of God's ministry. It required the Father to send the Son. It required the Son to go to the cross. It required the Spirit of God to make it all work. God in his essence, nature, and being has to be in totality, in his totalness involved. Now, and having said that, and the Spirit of God's ministry is very not understood by the church. It doesn't honor his ministry as it ought. So, now, and you want to understand that, if you would, just think of Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve, before they sinned, taking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, before they did that, you recall they had a unique relationship to God. Now, that is a wonderful relation, a very God creation. The Garden of Eden, the animals, everything was awesome. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned, the light went out. And all of that which they could see and sense and understand was gone. Now, hang on to that. So, when we think of that and understand that, God came along, they knew. In other words, they had sight, and then they lost sight. And boy, you had to know you lost sight because you can't see anymore. You can't hear anymore. You know what? Okay. How long did it take them to get saved? Genesis 3:15 and 20. God gave them the wonderful plan and promise to get saved, that Christ died and would die on the cross. And they come out quickly, hiding behind the trees, covered with fig leaf. They came out quickly to God and believed. It didn't take them, didn't take them 10 minutes. Boy, it was so clear. See? Can't see. Boy, do they want that fast to recover. You got that part? Now, here comes Cain and Abel. And Cain and Abel come along. They don't have that. They never had that. They were born blind. So they didn't miss anything. So when Adam and Eve tell them, you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, using updated language to tell them, Abel believed, Cain didn't. Cain didn't. They're in a very world conscious of God at that time. So, but Cain had no, and Abel had no comparison, of what death was, the absence of life. The day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. They didn't have that. They just knew the death part. Now, what does that do? That makes it easy for what? The God of this world to use the system we live in. We're born dead in sins. We're born dead. And being born dead, we have no sense of what life is. We have no idea. We live here right now. And here's the flowers, Romans chapter 1. Here's all of creation. Everything around us is full of life. Full of life. But we don't sense it. That, no offense to anybody, we just don't. We don't sense it. God's awesome presence we're in. We don't sense that from a human standpoint. We don't sense it. So, keeping that in mind, so therefore we're not conscious of God. And we aren't missing anything. We aren't missing sight because we never had sight. Understand? We aren't missing anything. Therefore, the God of this world, as you'll see if we live long enough for the morning, the power of the devil is death. And the one thing we don't want to ever think about, because we don't know what God's trying to tell us, we need to have sight. But we don't miss sight. We don't miss it. We never had it. We never had it. So we don't miss it. And the last thing most people want to think about is actually dying. Actually dying. You can put the cannon in front of you, but that's a sure thing. And you're going to die. You know you're going to die, but you don't know what it is, and you don't want to have to even consider it too much, because it's hard to consider, because we have never seen to what death is. The power of death keeps us from being saved. You understand? It keeps us from God. And the devil uses it awesomely. And our old nature doesn't want to have to think about death. We just don't ever want to think about it. Do you understand that? So now what? Where's our understanding of God? Apart from his word, we have to read and then believe. If I don't believe, I don't receive. If I don't receive, I don't have anything. I don't have any light. So I don't know. I'm sort of stupid about the whole thing. And I'm comfortable being stupid because I don't want to have to think about that which is totally missing in my life. I'm in the presence of God. I eat and drink and food and coming and going, living and all of that. But I don't have a sense of God. Really, the marvelousness of God. Sliding on the other side to maybe help. If you and I were to be taken now from this body to the next one, you would have an awesome sense of something you were missing. You would have a sense of something else that is way beyond anything we know. But God tells us to get saved. And that's why God is missing. Why is the Spirit of God missing? Because he is going to reveal the person and work of Christ to the heart. He's going to bring light into the darkness. He's going to take his word and help us. And if we can just disconnect from his person, then we stay in the dark. Even though I could be a preacher and teach and do everything, I'm in the dark. And I'm comfortable. And everyone around me is comfortable because we're all in the dark. So we're all comfortable. You get the idea? The Spirit of God's ministry is essential. And the reason he's missing is because he brings light into our darkness. And when he brings light into the darkness, you know more. We're very comfortable in our world system. It loves darkness. 1 John 3:19. We love darkness rather than light because our deeds are evil. So we love darkness. And you can, back jumping ahead into 1 John, we love darkness because you can believe what you want about Christ, and you can believe you want about Christ. You can believe you want about anything, and you can believe you want about anything. We accept all of that. We're very comfortable with all that, comfortable with it, because we can't see. So when you hold the color chart up, when you hold the color chart up, this side doesn't care. Green, blue, yellow, orange, no difference. No difference. Neither one of us see. You can call whatever you want. You can even have religious wars and go to war over what you believe. Do whatever. You stay in the dark. And in the dark, you're comfortable because you know in the bottom line with all religious, all our systems, what do we know? You know it, people say it. Who knows what is true? Now, we all know, most of us, well, some of us all know across the world. There's no Buddha. There just is no Buddha. Now, I don't care how big he is, and he sits there. I don't care how big he is. He just isn't God. And we know that. That's why, you know, jumping, Romans chapter 1, verse 20 and 20, you all know God is God. God makes himself known to the human heart, but the human heart loves darkness and rejects God. Rejects God, for the world system rejects God. So the little child rejects God. Doesn't follow through. The little kid knows, like we shared 100 times, knows that if you're in Australia, the kangaroo isn't a God. The little kid knows. You eat kangaroos, you know. You know that isn't God. But our parents worship the kangaroo. People worship Buddha and put food and money and everything. We know that's not true. So we know we're very comfortable what we're believing, and you're comfortable with your believing because neither one of us know. Both of us are comfortable. Who knows what's right? And none of it's true anyway. None of it's true. It's all a bunch of religion. There's no reality to it. That's a long way around to tell you. The Spirit of God's ministry needs to be understood. Do you got it? Without it, we're just plain in the dark and dumb. And we're quite comfortable in our religious systems and what we do and how we believe, because we're in the dark. In the light, we would never do it. In the light, we would shape up in 30 microseconds, nanoseconds, would shape up fast. But we can live like we do and think like we do and feel like we do because we don't have that light in that sight. So we've been looking at the Spirit of God's ministry, and it goes all the way from Genesis 1, 1 and 2 all the way to Revelation. And in the process, here we're looking at the gospel, the good news, 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died according to the Scriptures, was buried according to the Scriptures, rose again according to the Scriptures, the God's Word. So what am I to understand? God has given us His Word to understand His saving grace. Christ died, was buried, and rose again. The Spirit of God's ministry is to help you understand the gospel, the good news. Thus we read in Romans 5, 6, 7, 8, we've been looking at, the Spirit of God's ministry is to help you. Christ died for you. He justified, made it possible for you to be justified and declared righteous. He did all of these things. He took you to the cross. When Christ died, you died. When Christ was buried, you were buried. When Christ rose again, you are given a wonderful relationship to God. And you happen to do it by faith. You aren't doing it like Adam and Eve. That's so clear, boy, you aren't going to mess with this thing. We're doing it because we went from darkness to light. And we're going to go with it. God, thank you for helping us understand. So, when we came to Romans 8, loaded, the Spirit of God is everywhere, telling you what He does. He makes the gospel very practical, profitable, and pleasing to God. That's what He does. He loves to do it. So, as we did Romans chapter 8, and we went Romans chapter 8, sliding down, we did verse 25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So hope means the anticipation and expectation of God's wonderful, wonderful saving grace, as we read in verse 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. So, hope. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to go and give us a constant anticipation and expectancy of God's good word, God's good will outworking. So, in outworking the good will of God, the will of God, God's, remember, God created us to have an awesome life. And that awesome life was already planned, purposed, and done before even Christ went to the cross. He went to the cross and you were born. Abraham was born, Moses is born, you were born, we're born. To be able to have what God prepared and had a reason for having us created in the first place. God did the creating in time. We were born at this period. We are living in this period of history. So therefore, the Spirit of God's ministry in verse 26, remember, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, which we've been talking about, our limitations, weaknesses, lack of strength. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, or Himself, maketh intercession for us on our behalf with groanings which cannot be uttered. And when shared together, He's going to look for God's will to be outworked. So all that God the Father has in mind by way of our Lord Jesus Christ, His death, the Spirit of God is going to go and outwork that. And do we have we don't have a little sheet that tells you what your life is on Tuesday next week. It doesn't have that. God has that. I don't have that. The Spirit of God does. The Spirit of God has all of everything. And the Spirit of God is looking to our work, not what he wants, what God the Father has made possible by way of the death of his Son on Calvary's cross. And the Spirit of God's ministry is looking to outwork all that God has in mind. And I don't know it all. God does. God knows it. And in the process, verse 27, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for us, for the saints, according to the will of God. So he's going to do what? He's going to outwork the will of God. That's what the Spirit of God's going to do. You want to know what he's going to do? That's what he's going to do. Now we got our will and we're doing what we do, but when we come to know the Lord as our Savior, we're able to tune in and yield like Adam and Eve did and like Abel did. He yielded to God, and God outworked his life. What was Abel's life to be? How was it Abel's life? It was looking to God for outwitting, and lo, his brother killed him. How long was Abel's life? Not long. It was God's will. God's will. God allowed it. Now, so here, you make intercession according to the will of God, and you want to tie verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession, there's the same word, for us. In other words, the Spirit of God is looking to outwork the will of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to make possible the outworking of the will of God. So God the Father, God the Spirit of God, and God the Son, looking to God the Father, and God the Father is going to come by way of the Son, by way of the Spirit of God, into our heart. God's going to go and do what he does. And the Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, who made it possible, the Spirit of God, who brings reality to it, are going to outwork the Father's will. That's what they're going to do. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, they're going to outwork that will. And with groanings. So what's our responsibility? So we're supposed to stay in fellowship with God, abide like the vine and the branch, and we're looking to God. Now, God, how are we going to get you? I read verse 26, 27, and verse 34. Now, how am I going to get that? Practically. Oh, I know what I'm going to do. God's will. Okay. God, again, chapter 8, 9, 10, 11, about Israel, chapter 12. What are you going to do, God? I got it. Then you tell me about Israel, chapter 9, 10, 11. And now I'm back to me in the light of what God's going to do for Israel. So don't forget Israel over here. But here I am, God, Romans chapter 8. Looking to you to outwork your will. That's what you said you're doing. You're looking in my heart, I'm in your presence to outwork your will. Okay, my part, Romans 12. As you know, Romans 12, summing up, what is our responsibility? Chapter 12, I beseech you, verse 1. Therefore, in the light of all of this, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, yield your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, logical, most common sense thing to do. Obviously, it's the thing to do. God has a wonderful purpose. God has a wonderful purpose for the tissue. Then the tissue should yield and fulfill the purpose. Well, the knowledge. That's what it should do. So, God, you got a wonderful purpose, and you're going to do that. So, therefore, it's your reasonable service to do so. Now, having said that, is you're going to yield your bodies in order to keep, you want to keep all the little pieces, will take time. Over back over to chapter 6. And in chapter 6, what are you doing? And you remember verse 11, reckon, calculate, compute all yourselves to be dead, yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not therefore reign in your, let not sin reign, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, or that you may, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, lust desires. Verse 13, now that's what I'm after, but in the context. Neither yield ye your members, eyes, ears, nose, throat, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. On the contrary, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, eyes, ears, nose, throat, as instruments of righteousness unto God. In other words, give your God, you have a wonderful plan for my life. Here I am. Yield, submit. Now with that in mind, verse 13, back over to chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, mercies to God, you present your body, a body. There we are again. I'm going to give my body, eyes, ears, nose, throat, to God. That's what I was told to do. So I don't have a question. I got it. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Yes, what you told me to do. Present your body's living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, most logical service. And be not conformed to this world system. Don't get yourself locked up into the system. This is what the world wants. And we're held in what? We're held by the power of Satan. We're the power of death over us. The power of death. Death. We don't want to face death. We don't want to face death. And that always is there. And we want to, because God, you know all the things. Our Lord says, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe? You'll never what? You'll never die. Don't worry about death. John 5:24. You'll pass from death unto what? Unto life. Don't let death get you. Because death will keep you. The devil uses it to keep you. So you can't freely look to God and his will and word. It keeps you there. You don't even know it. It's there. There, the fear, the 1,000,000,000 phobias, the fear of the elevator, the fear of falling off the roof, the fear of all kinds of things. The fear the hot dog could be poisoned, you know. All the different things. We got them free. The fears are going to get you. And he's going to keep you. So you can't freely enjoy God. Therefore, in verse chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's how you think. That's why we're thinking how to think. That's what we're trying to do. We're talking about it, going back and forth with it, to think right. Be thinking, understanding. If you don't understand, you're caught in your ignorance, our ignorance. Now, verse 2, renewing of your mind that you may prove, put to the test, what is that good and acceptable, well-pleasing, and perfect, complete, what? Last three words, the will of God. What are we doing? We're looking for God to work his will. God's here. Spirit of God's going to get it. My life, our life is hidden in Christ. We don't have the death, fear of death. Got to get rid of that. It's going to kill me. Kill me. So I'm looking for the will of God to be outworked. That's what I'm doing. God's going to do. Spirit of God, Romans 8, is looking to outwork the will of God. And I'm looking to outwork what he wants. I'm going to cooperate. Romans 6:13, I'm going to yield my eyes, ears, nose, throat to God. God, you have to outwork it. I'll use your common sense and do what you do. Whatever you eat, eat to the what? So it isn't a question of you got to eat 4 bananas a day. No, it isn't. No. Whatever you eat, eating isn't an issue. Mark chapter 7. It isn't what you eat. Eating isn't sin. Eating, gutna is. But eating food isn't sin. A banana isn't sin. A double, triple ice cream cone isn't sin. It isn't sin. Just ice cream. And if you want to put it in your little stomach, put it down and be assured whatever your stomach doesn't want, it'll send it out. So don't worry about it. You know, it isn't food. So we're looking to God and the will of God. And that's what we do. It isn't hard. God has a wonderful plan for my life. And you do the normal things that you can. You work with your own refrigerator. You work with your own job, work, whatever you do. And whatever you do is not your vocation. Your vocation is to honor the life of God and outwork his life. You have to go to work and do whatever to get. You have to go to McDonald's and work, et cetera, different things. To what? To pay the bills. To pay the bills. You may have to work 2 jobs to pay the bills. That's what you do. It isn't critical. You do whatever. Some people do different things. They're able to do them. God bless them. When you're all done, though, whether you've got $1 million in a pocket or $10, you only can hold so many hamburgers. That's all there is to it. That's all. So you're learning to be content as you get down the corridor of time. Now, you're getting a little bit? I'm just chatting. Now, do it again. I want God's will. The Spirit of God wants God's will. It's God for all the rest of the day. That's what God wants. I want it. You want it. Now what? Now, God, we haven't got yet. To the morning worship. We haven't got there yet, God. God said, I know. But until you get there, 1 John chapter 5. And in 1 John chapter 5, as you would guess, and 1 John chapter 5, picking up, please, you'll catch it in verse 14. This is the confidence, boldness, frankness, freeness, all F's, this is the confidence that we have in him. What are we so confident about? What are we so comfortable with? That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. I want God's will. I don't know what God's will is. I have to go to work. I have to go to school. I have to do whatever. Doctors, lawyer, Indian chief, you got to do whatever you do, and you do it. God, I want your will. That's what you want. You know, that's what you want. God, your body, your will, your way. Now, and therefore, verse 15, and if we know this, why do we know it? Because God said it, and the Spirit of God's going to do it. That's what he's going to do. And if we know that he hears us, and he does, but whatsoever we ask, We know, what are we asking? For his will. His will to be outworked. That we have the petitions that we desired of him. God, you already got it. So all I got to do is finish the next 2 hours. Because that's what I want. That's what I want. God, I want. And that's what I want. That's what you, for real. I have to want that. I do. God, all this truth rolling. And sometimes so much, I get confused trying to tell you it all. That's the problem with our morning in our little study in 1 John. You're in a section of it that is so full of the big picture, little picture, and the big picture. How do you get all that out for people to see it? Otherwise, you could read the verse in 5 seconds. How do you get this across? That's my problem. Wow. So, what am I praying for? You want to know what I'm praying for? If I can get through this hour, the next one. That's what I'm praying for. But God, you know. God, I got it's a wonderful truth. What I just did with Adam and Eve, and how many times do you think about that? Adam and Eve. They had a wonderful opportunity. That's why they got saved so fast. We don't get saved fast because we tell God there's a wonderful heaven. Christ died on the cross to save you. Well, save me from what? I took my vitamins, paid my insurance, etc. What else is there? Well, I need to get saved. Well, you're a sinner. Oh, come on. I look at other people and we think of sin and evil in a worldly sense. You know, Halloween, the witches, etc. We don't think about it. We're so loose and we don't think about anything very much. We don't want to think about it too much. In fact, that's God tells you why we don't think about it. Because if you really understood your condition, you would be awesomely you'd be terribly uncomfortable, to use a mild word. You'd be terribly uncomfortable if you saw your lost estate apart from God. Would you be, you couldn't live with yourself. That's why people commit suicide sometimes. Yeah, trying to get rid of it. Now, so therefore, we're looking for God's will. Back over to Romans 8. Now, we spent a little time on that just so that you could do that a little bit and try to capitalize on what you read in Romans 8. 26 and 27. What is it saying, and how does it work in my life? You know. And while we say that, how does it work? Hold your finger here. Philippians. And you know this, but watch how it comes together. Philippians. And in chapter 2. Now, you know, we say it all the time to remind ourselves. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out. Present middle. You keep on doing it yourself. Work out. Work out. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You can't do anybody else's. You fix your own heart. You fix your own heart. You don't fix anybody else's heart. You can't fix anybody else's heart. Only God can fix the heart. Therefore, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you. That's the will of God. But see, praying for you with groanings which cannot be uttered. And looking to God, that's his ministry. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God's going to do his will. You're waiting on God to do his will. At 2 hours from now, it's God's going to do it. What's he going to do? I'm looking for God, my relationship to God. I'm trusting God, abiding like the branch in the vine. I'm looking to God to all work his will. My breath, I don't control my breathing. I don't control my systems, all the different wonderful things going on at 1,000,000,000 miles an hour inside your body. Thousands of miles. Couldn't even imagine it. Wow. Taking every cell, cleaning every cell, oxygen in, out, every cell. Do you ever think about it? Would you get tired thinking about it? I mean, after all, tiring. It is. Wow. That's right. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's his plea. And thus, walk by faith and not by sight. I just told you, reminded ourselves how to do it. You walk in the will of God for the outworking of the will of God at work, at home, at school, whether you're eating and drinking, whatever you do. To what? Be a little light in the darkness. The light isn't worried about the darkness. The light just is light. So wherever the light is, the light's in the bedroom, the light's in the kitchen, the light's at school, at work, and going to the grocery store, there's the light. Walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ is going to what? Cleanse you from all sin. And you enjoy what? What? You aren't fixing anything. You're honoring God who has done the job when he died on the cross and finished it. And all you're doing is enjoying what God has made possible for you to enjoy. Being a Christian, what does it mean to be a believer? It's to enjoy God. I don't know. See. Now back over. We'll try it again. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, as you know, after all of that, which we did in verse 28, we know that all things. How can all things? Because, what? You're looking for God to outwork his will in your life. You know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, to those that are going to reckon their life. They understand God has got a wonderful plan for their life, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you know he has a wonderful plan. He's going to work out that plan. And you know what? The blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing you from all sin. So you aren't playing with that mess. You aren't playing with that. That's done. Take care of that. All for the whole week. And you're done with that, so you don't have to do that. You're working, it doesn't say work out your sin nature. Philippians 2:12, remember? Work out your relationship to God. That's what you're doing. So you got the other thing, it's always there. It's always there. Doubt's always there. Depression's always there. Discouragement's always there. Disappointment's always there. All the other days. Everything's there. Sure it is. It never went away. You live with it. But you're free. So I don't pay attention to it. I don't pay attention. And you know what? The more you disregard being disappointed, the more you disregard being disappointed, the more you do that, the less disappointed you'll be. sort of neglect it. Neglect your discouragement. Neglect your disappointment. Just don't feed it. And if you don't feed it, you'll enjoy God's awesome person in an awesome way. Simply, wonderfully, thank you. Thank you. Do you deserve? No. Do you merit? No. Did you earn? No. Nope. Nope. God, just because you're you. And you did this for me. Thank you very much. Now, all things work together for good. And remember the ultimate good, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, as we shared last time, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, mark out ahead of time, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. So that, since God's doing all, did everything, since God did everything, verse 31, what should we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can stop us being justified, being glorified, et cetera, et cetera? Who's going to stop it? Who's going to stop all things working together for good? Who's going to do that? Well, people try it. People try, no, I'm not. I'm going to rest. All things work together for good. If God said, that's what I'm going to do, then who's going to stop that? Who can be against it if God be for us on our behalf? And he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God will take care of everything we need. Sliding over, a little bit jumping ahead, over to Corinthians, hold your finger. Over to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 2. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, but picking up, if I can, directly tying that in your mind to verse 9. As it is written, chapter 2, verse 9, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. God. They love him. Back over to, you know what it said? Romans 8. 8:28, all things were together good to them that love God. Back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. It's nothing but you want. You love God. You want God's will for your life. That's what you want. And that's what God's going to do. That's what God's going to do. He has all things. He has all things. He's going to do all things. Whatever has to be done, that's what he's going to do. All things work together for good. And God has made possible all the good. He's made possible all the good. That's what he's going to do. It's going to come out good. It may look lousy. It's going to come out good. Like we shared last time with Joseph. All of the terrible years of his life in great difficulty, and then having a very prestigious position in Egypt next to Pharaoh. That's pretty high up there. Wow. Wow. And God said, and he said to his brothers that wanted so evil of him, Genesis 50:10, you meant it for bad. God meant it for good. God did what he did with me for your sake. Paul says all the things that were happening to him were to help us guys. And all the things that happened to us are turn around. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, 4, 5, 6. Comfort ye. You have that wonderful encouragement of God. That's why you go through all that you do, so that you can have a word of comfort. You have experienced. You can't talk about God's wonderful grace to you if you haven't experienced it. You have to stumble through and break your nose. You have to get up and do some stupid things with people, and you should have just set it tight and let it all work out. But we just had to get involved. And God said, "I want you to sit back and let it all work out." And in the process, it may not look whatever, but you're being trained, governed, disciplined to be able to help. A, you'll understand God and His Word in your life better. B, what are you going to do? You're going to be able to go, and when you're looking at the people around you, you need to understand them to help them. But you can't understand them if you haven't gone through the mill. I'll use a silly illustration. I say it sometimes to ladies. "I understand you," say. "No, but I'm not a girl." So I'm not a girl. That little bit, that's only a small part. The other part's the rest of us. But I never had a baby. You may not, modern people would believe I could have had a baby. Do you understand? I would fit in the system today that I had a baby. I don't need to show the baby. I just need to tell you I had a baby. Say, "I had a baby." "I never had a baby. I don't know what it's like to have a baby. I know what it's like to have discomfort, but I have no idea what it's like to have a baby. I can't get in it because it's not a subject you have to talk about. You understand?" When you do stuff, you have to do it. It's one thing to do something. It's another thing to do this with a big baby. See? Anyway, you got the idea. I dropped the subject. I think I better drop the whole thing. You got the idea. Thank you.